Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
You're 150,000 times stronger and better than us because you motherfucking bleed. If we bled out of the tip of our penises, the whole world would shut down. Like a pandemic. Done. Shut down.
Welcome to Burning Up.
Okay, guys, we are in queer Persian Muslim hell today. I don't know why that made me laugh so hard, because it seems like a lot of fun. The devil's dancing down a strip pole. It's basically just the music video we all love. So we have Amir, yes, LGBTQ activist and a regular host for many panels, and he really battles a bunch of different topics, including transphobia, femme bashing, body shaming, racism in the queer community. He's host of the Take On Pod that I was on. Definitely listen to that episode. And he also, okay, this is like extensive, but it's important. He is a queer Muslim, and he changes the way religion and sexual orientation are mutually exclusive. And he really talks on that, which is super important to bring awareness to. And he's a self-proclaimed human unicorn. This is a fact because it was on the internet. And he said the three ways to explain him are queer, compassionate, and colorful. And most importantly, he's a Gemini. Amir, thank you for coming to hell today.
Oh, I'm so happy to be in hell, and I just feel very welcomed as a Gemini. This is my space.
You're like, I know I identify as other things, but Gemini is my most important. Amir and I have known each other in the industry for a while. I've done pods with him, and I think we do lots of podcasts, but there's a rare time where you just have that magical chemistry with someone. I think it's because we're both colorful, compassionate humans. Amir, where are you recording from right now?
I'm in Orange County, and I want people to know how we met, because I was actually interviewing the man who shall not be named, Voldemort, at Summer House, and you popped up, and I recognized your eyebrows in the corner of the screen, and I was like, is that Hannah Berner? Bring her in. And that was our instant love connection. So.
Do I have identifiable eyebrows?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my God. Well, they are quite expressive. That's why I'll never get Botox. Oh, maybe a little on the top, but I need to be able to move my eyebrows. So I just, to go backwards, yes. Where were you born? When did you come out?
Oh, great question. Well, I mean, I pretty much sashayed out of that vagina, but no, I mean, I was born in Orange County. I grew up in Laguna Beach, which was like gay Mecca in the 80s. So it was like the gays were everywhere. So I remember one of my neighbors had like a kimono, and he would just like, there was all these like hot men coming in and out of his house. I was like 5 years old, and I remember being like, that's something that I need to become.
You're like, how do I manifest that?
I kind of did. And so I came out quite late, though, because I was so religious. My parents were very conservative. So I came out in my late 20s. And it's just so funny, because when I look back, this guy in college, I was so in the closet, and he invited me over at midnight to watch Legally Blonde. Probably the gayest date of all time. And I didn't know what was happening, Hannah. I literally went there, and he was like nibbling on my ear, and I was like, maybe this is what friends do. Like, I was so ridiculous. But yeah,
you're like, how would straight guys act watching Legally Blonde? I guess they'd bite an ear.
Yeah, yeah. Fine, nibble, and maybe a little like grazing.
It's all perspective. Who was your first celebrity crush?
Oh my God, that's a good question. I mean, because I started working as a publicist when I was 19, I met so many people. So all of my crushes fell apart, but it's always JTT, Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Oh God, that's my first.
I love that.
And I still love him. Still hot.
I love a man with three names.
Right?
Also, you have such a strong presence. You actually on your Instagram bio said, be yourself at all costs. And you're not someone who I think grew up seeing people who were exactly like you, as in Muslim, queer. How were you able to embrace yourself so well and be so confident?
I mean, a lot of it's like a shtick. A lot of it's like, because I think when people think confidence, they think you're confident every day. There are days where you're like, oh, I fucking hate myself. And then there's days where you're like, let me fuck on camera because I'm that into myself today. So it's for me, it's the extremes. But that's like the Gemini in me, right? It's true. I'm like, either like I'm in a hole or I'm just like ready to just be out there.
You're Beyonce.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I got the alter ego. That's where I got it from. So Beyonce has, you know, Sasha Fierce. I have Amir Yas. So like on TikTok, I use that persona to kind of be ridiculous. And people are always like, wow, you're so not like, I'm not going to be like, hey, honey, let me get Chipotle, honey. I'm not going to be crazy. That's a persona. Like I've created a caricature for a reason.
So when people meet you like in real life, not TikTok, are you confident in that other person?
You mean confident with them? Like,
in yourself, in your like not alter ego?
I mean, coming out of the pandemic, it's been kind of hard. Like I went to a dinner party last week and I was like really awkward. And I was like, why am I so awkward? Like at one point I said, like I made the drum noise, like put your boom, but it was like way off. Like I was like, put your boom, yeah. Boom. And everyone's like, what noise is that? And I was just like, so I haven't been quite that confident. I think I like the Zoom confidence. Like there's a, yeah. Behind a screen, I'm like with a one ring light, all of a sudden I'm like activated. Oh, you don't want to use that. We're not, let's like swipe that from the record. Fuck that word. Yeah, I'm talking about you, Lindsay. Anyways, moving on. No, I think, yeah, I've tried to be better about it, but I still have to do like those affirmations where I'm like, you're funny enough, like you're tall enough, like you're successful enough. Because especially with gay men, they're very judgy. And everyone kind of looks great, and it's just, it can be a lot.
So. Especially in Orange County. And I can't imagine the kind of money they also put into, like, looking perfect.
Everyone looks perfect. Everybody has a Birkin. I'm like, it almost seems like a Birkin is, like, the norm. I'm like, are they just giving them out?
You're like, did I miss the, like, Costco, like, free sample of Birkins day? Yes.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, did I miss something?
I'm weird. Like, I'm kind of cheap. But, like, when I see a Birkin, I'm like, how many Italian dinners could I have eaten with that Birkin? You know, like, was it worth it?
It's so true.
But it's the West Coast definitely has a different vibe with that. But what are you most insecure about overall, physically and emotionally? I just want to break you down real quick.
Break me down. I love it. Physically, it's probably my nipples are big. So I get kind of self-conscious about it. But then there's people that really love it. Like my loved it and was all about it. And so I've just kind of been trying to free the nipple and be more comfortable with it. That's me being...
I think it's how you wear the nipple.
Yes. Yes.
Because I feel like Cardi B has huge nipples and I got like jealous of her huge nipples because I was like, oh my God, like you will not miss those. Like they are in your face and they are ready to play.
That's what I don't know why I'm cheering, but I don't think I've ever shared this. So I'm awkward.
Let your nipples take up space.
Yes. Yes, they are. They are. They really are. They're now arriving in the room 5 minutes before me. So it's good. I'm not mad at it.
But think about it. I feel like with men, I've never really noticed their nipples. But with women, it's like you have to have a almost invisible slit of a vagina and almost invisible nipples. And it's like, can we actually, or like if your body isn't completely like fatless, you're plus size. And it's like, can we just exist? Can we like have a vagina?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
You're like, that's what I think every day. Can we have vagina?
Can we have vagina? Can we own it? Can we not be focused on a slit? Like, I also don't understand these men that are obsessed with just a little slit. I'm like, your dick's like not that big, but it's not gonna fit in a little baby slit. Like,
also your dick is ugly.
Yes.
And your balls are uglier.
Yes. Balls are so ugly. Balls need a bra. You know, men are obsessed with like balls need a bra.
I think my fiance calls them like turkey gizzards. He's like, no one's excited about a turkey gizzard.
Nobody is.
Also, I feel like, how has your style evolved? Because I feel like you're always center of attention, but like, how do you decide like how to dress, what to be, especially growing up in a Muslim culture where things are a little more toned down?
Absolutely. You learn early. I mean, also being it's weird because like the Muslim community is very toned down, but then the Persian community is all the way dialed up. So they're real.
Actually, you're so right.
It's kind of confusing. The dichotomy is like definitely there. So for me, I'm like, okay, I know how to dress for the mosque, which is like your center of worship. You dress a certain way. And then I remember one time I went to the mosque during the day, and then at night I went to a drag show. So I'm really good at like quickly changing.
Wait, you have a fashion line that's like from mosque to the rager.
Yeah. Yeah.
From mosque to the mall.
Yes, the hijab becomes a dress, girl. No, I'm just kidding. No.
From hijab to house music.
Yes, yes. Yeah, nobody cancel me shit. But yeah, no, it's definitely, I think also being a publicist, I've learned how to like not be the center of attention and then also be the center of attention. Like when I had to tell like an interviewer, like, you can't ask my client that question, I was center of attention, but then if I was hiding on the red carpet. So I think my job has helped a lot with that.
Well, that's some Gemini shit too, going back and forth. Wait, why are you not on Shaw's?
Girl, they put one of my friends on there who was a quasi life coach who was literally bringing nothing to the show. I'm like, hello. Hello.
Okay, I'm gonna have to make a couple calls. But then you never know. You don't know if it'll be good long term for your career. But you also,
I know Shervin. Nima tried to get me on the show. Mercedes loves me. I mean, it's like it fits. It would work.
That's insane. Yeah, they're a hilarious cast, all of them. Such big personalities. But yeah, the Persian culture, it's, what do you think as a Persian of Shaw's?
At first I was like, oh, you know, like I think that it could be damaging. And ironically, this is a funny like side story, but I was packaging a show similar to that. So I knew a lot of crazy Persians in Orange County, and it was called Persian Version. So I packaged it, we were pitching it, and then obviously Ryan Seacrest was pitching that. So I was like, fuck it, we're not gonna do this. But I still love that Persian Version name. I've always like loved that. But Persians, I mean, it's funny because
anything that rhymes, I think, is genius.
Honey. Right?
Like, I'm investing.
I will fuck someone.
Any alliteration or
yes. If you can alliterate, I will come. That should be
yes, yeah, sex is cool, but have you seen someone use alliteration off the top of their head?
Right? Right. They always know what to do with their tongue. Anyways, we're getting off. A lot of Persians will hate on it, but they would fucking do it in a heartbeat. Because we love extraness. We, you know, a lot of the reason Persians don't call themselves Iranian is because we think of the empire and the gold. We're still like,
ooh,
in like
gaudy.
We're like back in the day. We're still living that empire life. So,
like, do any other Middle Eastern countries go like, you're lying?
They do. They do, but we don't care. We're like, we owned most of the world at some point. And they're like, well, you don't anymore. But we don't really care. Like, I've had white ladies tell me, like, you need to say you're Iranian. And I'm like, you got to mind your own business, first off. But we're very...
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. We're very proud.
It's similar to, like, the Brits. I had an ex-boy. Oh, yeah, British Dave, who I'd always joke. I'd be like, do you remember when you guys lost the war against us? And he was like, we owned everything. You guys were like... It was, like, too much admin to deal with you. We, like, sent a boat to, like, whatever. We didn't care. And I was like, okay, well, now you should. Because no one cares. You're not relevant the way you were. So yeah. Grow up. As times change, do you have anxiety?
Yes. So much about everything. I had anxiety about this and I was like, we're friends. Why do I have anxiety about everything. I'm like constantly, as a Gemini, I'm always like thinking five steps ahead. And I heard being in the future, you have anxiety. Being in the past, you have depression. So
yeah,
both.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, same. It is genetics. Do you think Persians in general culturally are open about mental health, or can you give me a little insight on that?
They're actually not. So when I first got into therapy, my parents literally called my therapist, which is like so against HIPAA. And they were like, you need to tell us what he's talking about. Like, mom, really?
And they're like, he's talking about how you guys are overbearing.
Yeah, helicopter parents. I mean, there's a lot of magical thinking with Persians, and it's very like,
yeah,
therapy twice and I was cured. Like my mom was like, I had postpartum, I went to therapy and then I was cured. And it's like a lot of people see it as like you go once or twice, and that's it. Like we did family therapy. I do it in quotes because it was literally me talking the whole time and them just listening when I came out. And they literally were like, okay, we're cured. We're good. We're okay with it. Are you though? Like, you literally told me to delete my Instagram because you were so uncomfortable with who I am. Like, are you good with it? Are you sure?
How has your relationship with them evolved since coming out or before coming out?
So when I did come out, you'll love this story. When I came out, my mom's first words were, you're going to get HIV and die. And I was like, not where I thought this is going. I was like, I don't love this. And then,
at least she cares about your health.
She does. That's true. Like, listen. Listen, at the end of the day, that's how I see it. And it's about shifting the way your perspective, because you could get really upset at that. But also, it took me so many years to come out. So I tried to be a little bit more understanding about where they're coming from. But like, and then all of a sudden, I don't know where this came from, Hannah. I started like, we were in the street and I was literally like, dolphins are gay and penguins are gay. And I was like screaming at her. And I was like, why am I yelling about gay penguin? But that's where the conversation.
Well, you were basically saying like, this is human nature. Yeah,
that's what I was trying to say.
And it's not a choice. Yes. Did you feel like they wouldn't love you as much? Like, that must have brought so much anxiety, you like feeling like there's a secret hidden from people who are your parents.
I mean, listen, I help a lot of people come out now, and I always tell them, I'm like, having a secret kind of feels good too. Like, being in a closet, but having a secret kind of feels good. Like, you have something in you that you're like, this is mine. And like, when I did come out, I actually started shoplifting because I wanted something else to hide. So
oh my God.
That was like,
you were like comfortable with that like naughty feeling.
Yes. Yes. I felt like I kind of, and even though I'm quite flamboyant in Persian culture, I'm actually the least gay person in my household because Persian men. So nobody like, people are like, your parents do. I'm like, no, everyone.
And they're, a lot of them are really good looking too. Like, they take care of their looks as opposed to like the average straight dude.
Absolutely. Oh. And we also have a plastic surgeon in our household. So no one has forehead wrinkles. Like, so they dress very flamboyant. Like, I actually don't, I mean, aside from some tie-dye, I don't really dress that flamboyantly. They pretty much they'll wear, like, my uncle wore an orange suit, get into, like, a bright lime green Ferrari. Like,
within the peacocking, you were just, like, a normal peacock. So I've actually, like, randomly, I've dated two Muslims in my life when I was younger. But I never, like, really studied the religion. So I want to know, for people who don't know about the Muslim religion, what are some pieces of it that like anyone could take and learn about life from? Like, are there any like real values you really like?
Yeah. So it's funny because I'm not very practiced. Like, I don't pray and fast and all that, but there is a lot in the religion that is like, it's all about community. And, you know, Muslim women were one of the first women to be able to vote. So there's a lot, even though like culturally, Muslim people are very awful to women, like in Saudi and the Middle East, but like in the religion itself, like women are actually at the center of it. So a lot of it says like, you cannot marry a woman without her consent. And like Christianity does not have that. So like when you look at the Bible, I'm saying like not Christianity itself, but if you look at Islam, there's, and then also Khadija, who was married to the Prophet Muhammad, she was a millionaire and she was funding the religion. Like, she was actually, so it was pretty
a bad. Sugar mama.
Yeah, she was a sugar mama. So it's like, kind
of she was a real housewife.
She literally was literally a real housewife. So it's very interesting because a lot of people are like, oh, you know, the terrorists or whatever, like what they hate women. They have four wives, all of that stuff. Like, it's all just cultural. So the religion itself is actually very supportive of women. So I think that's the coolest.
Well, yeah, it's like the hijab, how there's two perspectives of it. It's like you feeling really powerful and in control and valuing yourself in different ways. Right. So right now, what's your relationship with God or Allah?
I mean, it goes back and forth. I mean, the relationship that I have with the God that I know is not the one where people are sending me those hate messages or like, oh, you know, I would love to see you killed. I mean, someone said like, if there was a purge, I'd love to kill you first. I was like, that's kind of cool. I was like, okay, let's go.
You're like, so I don't have to deal with all the stress of like a 24-hour purge and I just get out in the beginning. That sounds amazing.
Amazing, right?
No fear.
Like, I was like, I am fine with that. Take me out. So yeah, I mean, the relationship is good. It's like, it's solid. I'm happy with who I am. And I was watching a movie and it was about a queer Muslim. And in the movie, he says, being gay made me a better Muslim. And I never thought about it like that because now I became more empathetic, Hannah, right? Like, I cared about people more. I saw people's pain more. I understood where people came from. I also have been in therapy for 10 years. So it just made me a better person. I think if I was just a straight Muslim, I just wouldn't have been as empathetic. So it actually was interesting, that perspective.
Ooh. So dating wise, do you care to date a Muslim?
I don't like, this is going to sound really crazy, but I don't generally like Middle Eastern men. The ones that I've been on dates with that are Muslim, I mean, you don't have to be Middle Eastern to be Muslim, but generally, like, Muslim men tend to be a bit more controlling. And I don't do well with that because I'm like, wait a second, I'm laughing too loud, bitch. Like, I'm gonna laugh as loud as I need to. Like, so I haven't dated any Muslims, but I mean, I'm not closed off to it. But again, I don't, you know, I drink and like I go out. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not really the conservative Muslim, but I definitely am culturally Muslim for sure.
You also talked a lot on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram about how horny you were during quarantine. How is your sex life going? How often are you jerking off? Like, give me the details of your sex life.
I'll give it all to you. I got two vibrators from Amazon.
Amazing.
Victor and Hugo. So
so you're in a throuple.
I'm in a throuple. Wait, I mean, they're so nice. They don't talk back. They're very supportive. And they only turn on when I need them to.
Yes, stand up.
It's so good. It's like, it makes me so happy. And I never really like valued sex toys unless someone like had them. And like, I never had my own. And that felt very adult. I was like, I'm Carrie fucking, you know, just living my life. Like, I feel like
it's a form of self-care to it's almost like if you use other people's sex toys, you're not like admitting that you like and want sex toys. Because it's like, it's not mine. It just happened to, I happened to sit on it. Whoops. But if you actively go and buy it, everyone go to Balesa. They have incredible ones. But yeah, it's like a real form of self-acceptance to be like, I deserve sexual pleasure. I deserve to make myself orgasm.
Exactly. And I deserve to come and I deserve to do it without a man, which has been really new for me. Usually it's like, I would fill my boredom with like a hookup or go on a date or like, and I'm realizing I'm like, there is no part of me that wants to sit in front of a stranger after the pandemic and talk about what their favorite color is. I don't give a fuck if you have a sibling. Let me see your dick. You know, like, where I'm at.
It's crazy because before I met Dez, not that like getting engaged, I don't know really anything more about love, but I know that I got to a point where I was like, I always had someone I was texting. Like, even if I didn't really like the person, I always had that source of someone giving me attention. And for the first time, I like really took the drug away and I was like just actually alone. And someone said, like, I think it was a TikTok thing, but they were talking about, sorry, I can't give credit, I totally forgot. And TikTok, you can't, once you refresh, you can't find that shit.
We never find anything. I'm like, wait a second, where'd it go?
So basically they were saying, if you want something, you have to be comfortable with the opposite. Like, they were like, if you want a great life, you have to be comfortable with death. If you want to meet someone, you have to be comfortable with being single. If you want to be rich, you have to really be okay being poor. And it was this interesting idea of just like how your mind is free to accept things and not force things. And that was fascinating to me.
Fuck that positive person. That's
toxic positivity.
Bitch, like, I wish I could be like that, where I'm like happy with the rich and then the poor and the death life. Like, I wish I could be so balanced. And I try. Sometimes there's moments, like, I don't know if you have these moments where it's like 5 minutes, I'm like, I have it together. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, he didn't text me back. And then I'm a mess. I'm like, what's wrong with me? Like, it's.
Yeah, it's when you find that person is being able to control your mental like health, or they can affect your mood based on like their text, that's when I get scared, because then you start losing the control of like you and who you are.
Yes. And you lose
and
it.
Then and you ghost stop them.
It. Like, you literally can't stop yourself. Like, there was this guy that I was texting in New York and then he was in Miami. I literally, Hannah, I watched his story like a, you know, freaking Law and Order detective. I was like, shh. And there's one where some guy was cupping his face and I literally was like, hey, cute new boo. And he was like, that's my friend. Like, you're in.
I love how you were sarcastic about it. You're like, gorgeous. You guys are great together. When are you getting married?
I was like, I can't wait to meet him. And he was like, there's no reason for passive aggressive behavior.
Oh my God. Okay. So if you went to a psychic, what would you want to know about your future?
I love psychics. So when you said that on the show, I was laughing. So I was like, I would be psychic.
There were two types of reactions. The people who were like, that's fucking crazy. And then hundreds of thousands of DMs going, who is your psychic and where can I contact them?
I'm a good psychic. There's this lady I go to in downtown LA. She's amazing. She's literally on some random street and like, it's crazy. She's like so dead on. So what I would want to know is like, when am I going to just like stop seeing men everywhere, like hot guys, and think about their O face? Like, I'm so tired of thinking about how they look, and it's like kind of exhausting. Like, I'll be in a meeting and I'm like, I wonder what this guy looks like when he comes. I'm like, why am I thinking about that? I don't want to think about that.
Oh my God. It sounds like you're horny.
I'm just really horny. But then it's like weird because once I nut, it's very never mind. It's very...
Well, that's men, I feel like.
Oh, that's men. I guess that is. Sometimes I forget I'm a man because I'm like, I'm really pretty and I like my nails done. But like, I am still a dude. That's why I can give really good advice to straight girls. I really do give good advice.
Do you have any good advice on love or like flirting with guys or any confidence tips?
Absolutely. Just always remember that men are so insecure and have the most fragile ego ever. And actually, you're... Mm. 150,000 times stronger and better than us because you motherfucking bleed. If we bled out of the tip of our penises, the whole world would shut down. Like a pandemic. Done. Shut down. Like, we don't survive anything. So just keep that in mind.
I know. I've seen guys get colds before and it's like, this isn't a pandemic. You have a cold. You have a sniffle.
You have a flu. Like, when my ex had a flu, I literally got a hotel, Hannah, because he was so exhausting. He was like, I'm never going to... I was like, I hope you just die in my apartment. And then the rent goes down. Like, it's just crazy. They're crazy. They're so awful.
Before we do our game, I want to know, in the pop culture world, because you were so good at knowing everything that's going on, do you have any updates or opinions, beginning with Erica Girardi, and did you watch The Hustler and The Housewife?
It was so good.
Do you have any thoughts I need to know?
First off, Danielle Staub, like, that whole outfit and the leg with the Louboutins, I was like, who the fuck is this? I was like, what is happening?
And she would go from, like, she was all over the place in the best way. Like, she's like, I don't like her. But then she'd be like, she's a strong girl like me. And, like, she was just giving the best one-liners.
It was so good.
Yeah, I met her at a strip club.
We worked at the same strip club. We're strong. We love our kids. And then it's like, oh, she's a bitch. I'm like, wait, what's happening?
And she'd be like, there's a lot of fake people in this business. I see similarities with me and her. I'm not like those fake girls, though.
And she was like hating on Bravo, and it was just so delightful. I mean, with that,
and then the random other housewife that used to be, I guess,
Dana Wilkie,
Beverly Hills,
with the $25,000 sunglasses.
Wow.
Oh God, it was good. It was really good. But you know what was odd to me was putting those two people in kind of made the documentary a bit more silly, because
yes,
I think that it was kind of really somber and pretty dark. So
yeah,
it really affected me. Like, I couldn't fall asleep at night because I was like. Like, when that Indonesian man was crying over his mom, I was like, this is not...
I mean, it was full-on, like, a Dateline expose, but then I feel like they were like, oh, we want the Bravo people to be interested, so they, like, threw in those two women who, like, everything they said was just, like, weird opinions, and it was honestly unnecessary, but... Because, like, the Bravo people are fucking crazy and need to know every detail and would have literally read, like, Jen Shah's, like, lawsuit. Like, you don't have to make it entertaining.
We would read anything. Like, we'll read it all. When Jen Shah said she had dry contact lenses, like, that's the best thing I've ever read. That transcript.
Do you think that Erica knew?
Yes.
Why?
So I worked for her for an entire day, and she is so aware of what's happening around her. So I worked as a publicist assistant, and she hated me. And she was like, yeah, she tried to get me fired. Did I not tell you the story?
No.
Yeah, so I worked. So I filled in for my old boss, and I get there, and it's Erica Girardi, and she's going on Fox TV, like daytime TV, promoting her book. So I get there, and I knew her makeup artist, and I walk in. I think she thought I was someone else. She's giving me daggers, dirty looks, and then I was talking to her makeup artist, and she was like, "I think you need to service your client and stop talking to random people." And I was like, "Erica, I introduced myself twice. Like, I'm so and so's assistant. Like, I'm like, what are you not getting?" And she like hated me. And then it was live TV, so I was like, "You gotta go." And she's like, "I don't do what you say." And I was like, "You have to fucking get up." Like, I literally was like, you have to get up. Like, we're in a green room. You have to walk there, and you're wearing fucking, like, 12-inch heels. So she got up. She went. And then we went to her office, Hannah. And then I walk in, and her publicist, who I knew, was like, oh, this is Amir. Like, he's been helping us today. And then she was like, oh, I know who he is. I was like, what did I do to you, bitch? Like, what? And then she tried to get me fired, long story short, but she was so aware, the point was bringing this up, is that she was so aware of what was happening around her. So there's no way she didn't know that her husband was putting $20 million into her business. Like, girl, please. Like,
because part of me, I was trying to be like, could he be like, hey, this is like a tax thing. I'm just going to put some money in your LLC. Like, and she didn't know that it was like from victims. Like, I know tons of girls who have rich husbands who could not for their life tell me what they do for a living. Like, what does financial analyst actually mean? Like, people make fun of Instagram influencers. I'm like, what the fuck is a financial analyst? What's a logistics partner? Like, what the fuck is that?
What's a COO? Like, COO? I'm like, you're doing
what's a CFO? What's a CFO?
Exactly. CEO, I get. You go on nice lunches. That's it. COO. I'm like, you're dicking around. You're doing nothing.
CFO, you're like making sure the elevator still works. Like, I don't understand. I don't know. That's why we're not in 9-to-5s. Well, it's interesting. Oh, it's so funny because I don't know Erica. I'm just, we all can say what we think, but you're like, oh, I've spent a day. It's funny when you spend a day with someone that you're like kind of understand how their mind works.
Hey, Billy, why don't we tell them what we're about, man?
So we're here to welcome you to the Madhouse Chronicles. It's a talk show with myself, Billy Morrison.
And me, Ozzy Osbourne.
This man, Prince of Darkness. And we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Come and join Ozzy and myself. Visit osbournemediahouse.com to get special access to...
Come on!
What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
Secondly, what do you think about Ben Affleck and J-Lo? What are your thoughts?
So I predicted Ben for like 5 months ago on TikTok and people were like, this is fake. It's never going to happen. So I feel really good about my prediction.
Okay. You're psychic.
I like them. I mean, they're making out in Nobu. He's like, you know, he was Dunkin' Donuts Ben the entire pandemic and now he's like hot again. So I'm not mad. I'm not mad at it.
I thought it was just like a fake PR stunt of like Ben's people are like, hey, he can't outlive this like Dunkin' Donut bullshit. But like if he gets with J-Lo, it'd be great for him. And J-Lo's like, I literally need anyone that could distract people from this A-Rod bullshit. So it seemed just like, also I was telling Paige that we were talking on Giggly Squad about it, that like if you want to be private, like look at Tom Hanks and his wife, they're alive but you don't see them on dates every fucking day. Like it's clearly a PR play, but it still could be a PR play in real. I don't know, I just don't buy stuff lately. I'm just like, this is like a business partnership.
I agree. I always tell people, I'm like, you can be an actor, not famous. Meryl Streep. There's a long list of people who live a very normal life. They go to Ralph's, like nobody cares about them. Just not being chased. Like nobody cares, right? So those, as a publicist, I can tell you, Hannah, I have called paparazzi on every single client I've had, from Michael B. Jordan to like the C-list celebrity, because that is how you do it. Like you think Boa Steakhouse is that good in LA? It's not that good. We call the paparazzi on Boa Steakhouse. Like, it's not that good. Saddle Ranch tastes like eating ass. And that's the only reason it's the paparazzi.
I think that people don't understand how, like, controlled you are by the media. Like, the media shows you what they want you to see. And also, even, like, I noticed the Chrissy Teigen stuff. Once it got announced, the photos the press were using of her were so gnarly. Like, they were just, like, she went from, like, America's Sweetheart to being, like, Chrissy Teigen, tell someone to die. And they picked, like, the worst lighting and, like, that kind of stuff. It's just crazy how the media can, like, pick sides like that.
They do. And they turn, I mean, we saw what happened to Britney Spears. That didn't happen to Christina Aguilera or Ashley, whatever, Jessica Simpson, right? Like, they pick and choose, right? And again, I don't agree with what Chrissy Teigen said, but this idea of canceling the very few women of color that are at the top, it's like, how often are white men doing really stupid shit? Like, they're not saying shit, they're like raping people. I'm like,
you're like, we just have to get our priorities right. What do you think of the Michael Costello thing?
So I have worked with Michael before. He's a really sweet, delicate soul, and he's very kind, and I get all of that, okay? But I worked in fashion PR. When you are a woman of color, Leona Lewis, you have any hips or curves or anything, they used to, like, the fat shaming in the fashion industry is as popular as Chanel. It is like, still today. So the fact that, like, it's not unbelievable that they would be like, oh, we don't have the size for you, even if you are a celebrity. Like, this has happened to Kim Kardashian when she started out. This is a normal occurrence. Like, The idea that people are now dressing Beyonce 8 years ago, that was not a thing. It was like, girl, buy it off the rack, or like, we don't care. Like, so this is a new thing. So I do believe her. Part of me is just like, okay, but Chrissy Teigen needs to stop telling people to kill themselves. I get, but she's like part of it. It's part of her humor. Like, if you follow her, she's pretty irreverent and flippant. So again, she, like you and I and her, I'm not like saying we're the same as Chrissy. I'm just saying when you are a comedian, you're a bit flippant. So people are like, oh, that really hurt my feelings. I'm like, bitch, it's funny though. Like,
well, it's also like your friend group. Like, you might have a group where like saying like go die is something you guys all say, but then in a context of like the world and bullying, it's not acceptable. And she clearly didn't think before she wrote it.
Absolutely. Or like, I don't know about you, Hannah, but I say like, oh, I'm deceased, and I had a friend who was like, well, that really makes me like, it hurts my feelings, and I'll adjust. But there's stuff you do, or like a lot of times gay guys will call each other fag. And I had another friend that was like, oh, that makes me really uncomfortable. And I'm like, okay, your straight fragility is exhausting, but okay, I won't say it. Like, you know, it's
a straight guy said that to you?
Yeah.
No, but it's true. It's important for people to understand where you're coming from a lot of the time, like contextually, if it's like actually trying to hurt someone versus make someone laugh, but also listening and seeing how like things evolve and some words are just not acceptable like in this lifetime anymore.
And apologize genuinely. Like, I had clients that were like, I'm going to give a bunch of excuses. And like, there's this guy that's gay and he's like Hollywood Olivia Pope. He's like the gay Olivia Pope, and he's a fixer. So we would hire him. He's a crisis manager, and he comes in and he'd be like, just say a genuine apology, even if you don't mean it. Don't put a picture of a lavender field or like be like, so like, victim, like make yourself the victim, just apologize. And like, even if you don't mean it, just be like, I'm fucking sorry, and you'll get your career back. Otherwise you won't. That's it.
I mean, and at the end of the day, even if you're not sorry for maybe part of it, there's part of you that doesn't want to ever hurt people,
right?
That you have to be like dig deep to that part where you actually are sorry. Because you've worked with so many celebrities, can you tell me some that like you absolutely love as people?
So the best person in the world that I've ever worked for is Childish Gambino. So he is just like so hot, smells great.
Maybe one of the most talented people of our time.
So talented. And he made his own coffee, Hannah. Like, he wouldn't make me do stuff. He didn't validate his parking. He would pay, even if he was there all day, he would pay the full. Not that I know it sounds funny, but to say that, but there's a lot of people that were very rich who would like yell at me because there wasn't enough validation on their parking. And then they're getting into like a Rolls Royce. I'm like, are you serious? But so he was just,
those little details are important.
They're so important. And he was just like one of the most lovely people ever. And then Michael B. Jordan, I mean, I worked in his house. I was like part of his house staff. So I would see that man in underwear. I mean, like shirtless, like he was so great. I won't get myself into hot water like I did when I was on Heather McDonald's podcast about talking about how he had a moment, but we did, and it's fine. It's between us. And nothing happens between us anyway.
Are there any celebs that need to work on their manners that you know?
Yes, there are. One last story. You'll appreciate this. Nicole Richie, she was so lovely. And I ran into her once with my parents at like a spa in Arizona. And she kept calling me hot bitch. And my dad, like my poor immigrant dad, was like, how does this celebrity know who you are? And it's calling you hot bitch. It was really funny. Anyways, that was a fun side story.
I love that for her.
Great. It was awesome. But yeah, I mean, wait, what did you ask me? Sorry, I just had to tell you.
Any celebrities that need to work on their...
Oh, bad manners. Oh, yeah. Do you remember Gastineau Girls?
Yes, Brittany Gastineau.
Oh, she was a nightmare. And the Kardashians came to her. I did a gallery opening for her, and they came. And she was just like... It wasn't that she was rude, per se. She was just very bored by me. And I don't do well with that as a Gemini. I'm like, I need...
You're like, are you not entertained?
I wanted to just like spew fire. And like Sophia Richie, Scott Disick, Courtney and Kim are all laughing at shit I'm saying, okay? Kim literally was like, you're so fucking funny. And her is like this. I was like, bitch. So I didn't vibe with that. I was like, and I was such a fan of her, and her mom was amazing. Like, her mom was like, we're gonna get drinks and like all that. But she was just not, and I'd be like, do you want yellow or red napkins? And she's like, napkins are fine. I'm like, bitch, pick a color. Like, it was just a nightmare. Anyways,
I wonder where she is now. Oh my God. Okay, you are so good at spilling all the tea. We're gonna wrap this up with a final game called the Seven Deadly Sins.
Seven Deadly Sins.
What are you greedy about?
My orgasms.
Do you prefer to orgasm first?
No, because if I do, it's like the train
you're done. Arrived.
I will just leave. My Uber's here. I hate when you've already come and the person's like, and I'm just like, are you done yet? Like, oh, I'm so over it. It's not.
Can you tell if someone's a top or a bottom by just looking at them?
I think you could tell before. And again, obviously, most people, if you don't know, like a bottom will be more feminine and then the top will be more masculine. But like, I'm a feminine top. And like, mm-hmm. a lot of times now, even really masculine men are bottoming. And I think a lot of people are averse now, which is like you go both ways. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the new vibe. So
why do you think it's new that people are versing? Why weren't they doing it before?
Well, I think a lot of people, especially culturally too, like Middle Eastern men, Asian men, Latino men will be like, if I don't get penetrated, like I'm not really gay. Like they'll be like, I'm still a man, quote unquote. There's this like, it's weird. And it starts from like, hate to give you a side note history lesson, but in Roman times, like straight men would like have gay lovers, but they would only penetrate them. Like they would never get yes. penetrated. So it's a very yeah. interesting, and I've been on a date with a straight guy who was very like, oh, you can't go there. Like, you can't have sex with me. Like, I can have sex with you. Like, it.
Yeah, like, it's only gay.
Like, if. I'm like, if you're kissing a dude or you even find a dude attractive, it's pretty gay already.
You're like, I don't want to define what a homosexual is. Right,
but I will in that situation.
Well, I do think also straight guys, it's become way more acceptable to, like, for butt play.
Yes. Yes. And I love
that. Because, like. And I feel like Gen Z's like talk about it, but overall it's like gay guys don't have a different asshole.
No.
You know? Like if it feels good for them, why wouldn't it feel good for you?
Absolutely. We got the same asshole. And an anal orgasm is like way better. There people don't know there's juices down there. Like it feels good mm-hmm. for a dude. And my friend actually works at a sex shop in LA and they've been selling a lot of pegging, butt plugs. Like
yep.
Straight guys are kind of into that now, which is.
I feel like there's a lot of straight guys who like to be pegged.
Absolutely. And you know what it is?
Normalize it.
And you know what it is? It's not the peg. It's not the strap on. It's the person behind it. So even a lot of people will say with lesbians, like, oh, why are you, that you just be with a dude? No, it's the person behind that instrument, right? It's not necessarily the dick.
That is actually such a beautiful thing to say. Because, yeah, like when a guy's going down on me, like that's what lesbians do to come sometimes. And it doesn't make it gay. Like it also, I just think everything is so much less black and white that people wanted in the past. And everyone's versing.
Yes!
We love that for us. Who are you envious of?
I'm envious of any of my friends who have any sort of success, even if I don't want it. So if they get a house, like, I'm so not happy for you. I have a save the date that I keep putting up and then throwing away and putting up again because I'm just so jealous. I'm like, what's wrong with
you? I love that you said, even if I don't want it, because I have been in that place where I like didn't get an opportunity.
Yeah.
And my manager was like, okay, do you want us to fight for this? And I'm like, no, I don't want it, but I wish that they asked me.
Oh my God, I love you. That's so funny. My friend got a hosting job on Daily Pop. Super happy for her. But I didn't even and I didn't even apply. I didn't even call anyone. And I was like, why am I not there? I don't, what? And then when she got bumped from the schedule, I was a little happy. It's so bad. It's so bad. And I want to be a better
straight
person.
Up.
And I told my therapist.
But that's where you have to talk to yourself about it. Be like, okay, why am I jealous? Why do I really want that? Oh, I don't want that. Then why did you get jealous of it? Like, you have to go unpack a lot of shit. Like, that is some complex shit.
I'm trying. I mean, I told my therapist last week and it was so funny. She looked at me through the Zoom and she was like, Amir, we know that's wrong, right? And I was like, yeah,
I know. I wish she says we. Like, the universe knows.
I think because people think I'm delusional. I'm very self-aware to a fault, but I'm like, I know I shouldn't be jealous. I don't even want to be married. I don't even want to be in a relationship. Like, I'll be at dinner and I'll see like someone across the room kiss, and I'm like, I hope you're unhappy. And I'm like, what's wrong?
That's like me being jealous of my cat every fucking day. Like, I'll have to like go do an errand and my cat will just be lying there, and I'm literally like, God, why did you make me a human? Why can't I be this cat just lying down getting pet all day? And it's like, do you really want to be a cat though?
They have the best.
Do you really want to like
they have the best lives. And they have 9 of them.
Yeah, and they could put their leg over their head and lick their own asshole. It's incredible.
I had direct eye contact with a cat on Saturday night that was doing that. I was like, wow, we're like having
a moment. Hold eye contact.
Hold eye contact.
Wait, why don't you want to get married? Not in a judgmental way.
No. I do. There's a Whoopi Goldberg quote where it's like, I don't want to get married because I don't want to share my house. Like, I don't want a man voice in my house. And I think that's kind of what it is. Like, if there was a perfect world where I was like wealthy enough where we had separate houses, like a separate life, I would get married. And I also want my wedding to be all about me. So I don't want you there. So if you're willing to do a courtroom thing and then you don't show up at all to the wedding, like, I think I'll be okay with that.
It's like, Amir is getting married too. Not important.
I don't want attention. Don't tag him. Like, he needs to know that if you're gonna date me, you're gonna be a beta, and I need to be okay.
So you don't want to be with a power bitch
at all. I literally, Hannah, the worst thing I ever heard was someone said, Amir, like, you should date someone really successful, you can be a plus one. And I was like, I need to work harder, because like, plus one to me is the worst thing ever. I've had so many friends be like, oh, do you want to go to like Paris Fashion Week and you'll be my plus one? And I'm like, nope, I need to be front row. I need to be like in the, I need to be courtside, or I'd rather
sit. But like, how do you deal with being a publicist sometimes that gets treated like absolute shit?
Well, that's why I left 2019. I was like, ow.
You're like, if I have to hold another Birkin of someone else's in the background, I'll lose it.
No, if I have to go to another gifting suite for the motherfucking Emmys with a bunch of ugly shit where all the good shit is in the back and you're giving it to my clients, I'm like, I don't want a hair dryer. I want the fucking iPad. So that's where I'm at. I was like, yeah. And I started becoming more interesting than my clients. And I was like, I should.
Yeah. You start comparing like the energies and you're like, I don't belong in this space.
Yeah.
You outgrew it.
I did. And I just don't want another person that's going to be like, not carry cash. I paid for everything because these celebrities don't carry cash. They're like, can you pay for that? I'm like, bitch, you pay for it. Like, once.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's crazy. But anyways.
What are you gluttonous about? So what do you overindulge in besides orgasms?
I love is a car wash. I love,
we've never got that answer in hell.
Oh really? Oh good.
No.
I love a car wash. I just love a group of men working on my car. Like, that turns me on. I know, I just love the vacuuming. Like, I'll watch it like a voyeur. Like, I'm like, vacuum all the corners. Like,
you were like, get in those creases. Yes.
I love a car crease full of sand, but it's
good. Are you a neat person overall? Like, are you cleanly?
Yeah, I'm like a serial killer. Like, the first time this my friend came over was like, are you gonna murder me? Like, because everything's so organized. And like, if I ever have like a housekeeper come over, I'll go put everything back in its correct spot.
I'm so jealous because I am a literal disaster. When was the last time you experienced extreme wrath? Like, do you have an angry side to you?
Oh, there's definitely that Middle Eastern side for sure. Extreme wrath. Oh, I did. So I was at a restaurant in LA and my friends and I were talking and this, like, people next to us were like, kept staring at us. And I was like, well, it's not a motherfucking library. They were like, you're too loud. And then of course, my luck, they were like super industry people. And like John Lovitz came over and like hugged them. And I was like, of course I had it in. I'm canceled before I've even made it.
You fight with the most important people. You know what? Social climbing's overrated.
Right.
When was the last time you were a sloth? So like just a complete lazy piece of shit all day.
I think today I got up at noon and I was like, I need to, and I would just have done nothing till you. So
good for you. Yeah. Good for you. So actually I got an email today. Someone was in LA and they were like, sorry, just waking up now. I'm starting the day late. And I was still in bed on the East Coast. So that made me feel weird.
I love that.
I was like, shut up.
People are so dumb. When someone told me, they're like, a late start feels like I've given up the whole day. And I'm like, what is the day going to give you? Like, what am I rushing?
What are those 2 hours in the morning really going to change in your life?
Give me a break.
We're just like the demotivational podcast.
Yeah, not motivating. I don't like motivation. I'm like, the minute I see someone do like motivational quote, I'm like, unfollow. Like, you need to.
And it's always just because they liked how they looked in the photo and really want to make people jealous of them and then post a nice quote to make themselves feel like they weren't being cunts.
Exactly.
When was the last time you let your ego get in the way of something? Like your pride?
It's always there. I'm laughing because it's always there. I'm always like, let me check it. I think it's when When was the last time it really got in there? Oh, I was doing a bride partnership. Oh, now you put wedding in my head, bitch. Shit.
I'm ready to be a bride.
I'm ready to be a bride, bitch. Call me. There's actually a Persian magazine called Aruz, and it's like, and that means bride in Farsi. And that's always been my dream, is to be like in a wedding dress.
The cover.
Yeah.
I love that for you.
That's a dream. Thank you. So I was doing a pride partnership. I can talk now. And they like lowballed me. They were like, do all this stuff. And then like, and then the guy was like, oh, you can only pick, like they wanted to send me stuff and I wanted all the cute shit. And they wanted to give me all that shit that says ally and like bullshit like that. I was like, I'm not going to wear that shit. So I literally was like, emailed them back. And I was like, unfortunately, this opportunity is just not going to work for me. And they're like a nonprofit. Like I had been like going back and forth with them, and the guy was really pissed.
You were like, ally, really? Can you get a little more creative? This was so last year.
Exactly. I was like, get it together. I want the ruffle shit. I want the like cute dress. I'm not.
You're like a rainbow? Really? Basic.
Tell them. And then when I went to Nordstrom's, they had partnered with Nordstrom's, and they're like partnered with Saks. I'm like, y'all have money. I was like, you don't want to pay me. Like,
oh my god, yeah.
At least give me the cute shit. So that
is so just, hilarious.
Yeah, that was a problem.
What do you feel about all these big brands that just like go gay for the month?
Ugh. I mean, it's really problematic. I mean, like when Chipotle is doing homo estas, I'm like, really?
No, they didn't. I just like, I was in Union Square and I walked by a bank. I don't remember the bank. And it was like all neon flashy lights, like rainbow. Yeah. And I'm just like, what in the fuck are you guys trying to do? Because you know the second the month is over, they're taking that shit down.
Of course they are. And Citibank,
like, I don't know her.
Literally, was it Citibank? It might have been. Yeah, like Citibank was like so anti. Like they literally like wouldn't do healthcare for gay couples. Like they were fucked up. And now they do the pride floats and they're all about it. I mean, the only company, honestly, is ironically Burger King. So they did the whole, it's called Chick King, which I think was an opportunity miss because it should have been Chick Queen. But anyway.
Yes.
And so they're donating 40 cents on the dollar. And then they like shaded Chick-fil-A. They were like, we're also open on Sunday. So that's
amazing.
That I was all about. But like Coors Light doing LGBTQ, let's grab a beer queen or some shit. I was like, no, bitch. No.
It was funny. Did you watch Bo Burnham's Inside on Netflix?
No, I need to watch.
I highly recommend Bo Burnham's new special. It has ups and downs, but he's a lyrical genius. And he does this whole bit talking as like a creative coming up with a campaign. And he's talking about like inclusivity and diversity. And he's like, and that's like just what Pizza Bites is about. And you were just like, oh my God. Like you just made fun of the obscurity of the whole thing. But I love when there's a donation aspect to it. Like that's actual action versus the performativeness of like, come drink our beer, be gay while drinking your beer this month.
I'm like, we're not gonna drink that beer. Like, we need to have some grapefruit extract. Like, read your demographics. Like,
or it's like a PR team, like 2 days before the month was like, by the way, if you guys don't do something gay, like, you're gonna be shat on. So, like, come up with something. And they're like, oh, fuck.
I feel like it's gone too far. It's like, you know, the gas tank is like your gas casket, whatever thing is like rainbow. I'm like, it's too much. I'm like, I feel supported. Just chill the fuck out. It's too much.
A lot of my gay friends were like, just being like, just Venmo me. Don't spend all your money on a marketing campaign. Just Venmo me.
Love that.
When was the last time you lusted over someone? Like, who are you crushing on?
Oh, okay. So I went to get an x-ray. Random side story. welcome to 35, bitch. Your back's going to hurt. You need an x-ray. I looked cute in that like reverse hospital gown moment. Anyway,
that's
topic. But the guy was like, you look good. And I was like, are we going to fuck in the x-ray room? Because that I have not done.
That's low-key hot.
It was kind of hot. He was not. Anyways, we're moving along. Yeah, so there was a guy in the front desk guy. So I got there. And first of all, I think my doctor hates me because he sent me to the women's center. I was already mortified because I was the only man in the fucking place. Anyways, the place was gorgeous, dusted walls, and it looked very beautiful. Anyway, so I get there. There's this hot guy in the front. Literally, Hannah, his leg was up. Like, he just put his leg up. Like, so fuckboy energy, was not wearing a mask, like didn't give a fuck, tattoo. Like he was so hot and he had his
leg. Like definitely doesn't wear a condom.
He like comes on your face. So that was the person, and I walked up and he was like, what are you here for? Why are you at the women's center? He totally like asked me that. And I was like, well, my doctor sent me here because it's like whatever. I gave him the whole spiel and he was like, it's kind of weird, but like you'll be up next. And like I was so hard. Like that shit made me hard. He was so hot anyways.
You're like, he hated me just like the doctor, and therefore I have two boyfriends now.
He totally hated me. It was great.
So you have such an amazing positive, like anti-toxic positive. Anyway, you just have good energy about you. Okay. That's what I was trying to say. But like, I know you've been through your shit and your dark times, because a lot of people who present the happiest have been through some of the darkest times. So for the little devils, I like to wrap the pod up by asking, what do you do to cope with your hell when you're going through it?
Well, for me personally, it was stand up. So stand up really, and I think a lot of comedians, and you obviously you are one, and Dez and other people that are comedians, a lot of my friends are comedians. Like stand-up comedy saved my life in a way, because I was so deep in a closet. I was suicidal. I was struggling. And then I went on stage and I was like, when I made fun of it, it seemed more manageable, right? I was like, oh, like, haha, I'm going to kill myself, but I'm wearing Gucci. And then all of a sudden it was like funny and it seemed distant and I could start to unpack it. So it actually saved my life, because a lot of people don't understand comedians, to be funny, to be light, you have to go through the darkness. So people that are like generally kind of indifferent haven't really been through a lot. So to go on stage, like, you know, I've taken comedy classes. My teacher was like, who's fucked up? And everyone raised their hand. Like, that's comedy, right? Like, you have to be a little fucked up to laugh at yourself. So I would say, like, for me, it's finding, my advice would be find that thing that kind of makes you feel alive, whether it's comedy, whether it's improv. Get outside your own head, because our own heads can be very damaging. So sometimes it's good to step outside of it. And also don't let anyone in rent free either. Like I'm so tired of thinking about what people think of me and all that shit. I'm like, listen, if your dreams are not big enough and they don't make people laugh, then you shouldn't motherfucking have them. Like, I say things and people are like, okay, really? And I'm like, yeah, bitch, I'm gonna, in 10 years, I'll have a late night talk show, bitch. And you'll still be doing your 2.5 kids and the white picket fence and all that shit. Like, I don't want that. Like, I want to do cool things, you know?
I love that so much, because I'm pretty sure that when you decided to do stand-up, it wasn't a financial decision. Like, it wasn't for money. Nope. And I think, like, anyone listening, get out of your head for a second and start doing whatever hobby you think brings you the most joy, and just, like, watch how it manifests in your life. Because sometimes, like, when the universe sees that you're, like, on a path, next thing you know, doors just start opening, that your friend group changes. And I love that you have that openness to just try new things to find happiness.
Absolutely. And also, the money thing is so key, what you said, because a lot of people are like, oh, how much money do you make on TikTok? You waste all this time. It's not a waste, because I've created a community, and that's like stand-up. I don't make millions of dollars doing stand-up, but the fact of the matter is I'm good at it, and I've also bombed many times. I understand when it kills. Like, that's a beautiful moment that most people, it's death, taxes, and public speaking. If you can do stand-up, you're pretty bomb. Like, we got magic, girl. Like,
I knew. I got paid $20 last night, but it was worth
it.
yes. So, Amir, yes.
Yes.
Give me all the goods. Where can people follow you, listen to you, watch you, everything?
I love you. I've had so much fun. You're the best.
So fun. This went by in a second.
I know, right? I'm like, what? We're done? This is the most fun I've had in hell. And a lot of people say I'm going to hell. So if it's like this, I'm kind of down. I'm kind of down with it. You can find me at Amir Yass Official on both Instagram and TikTok. And you can message me. I'll respond. Dick pics are fine. Just not flaccid, because nobody wants to see that. It looks like a dead eggplant.
No.
It's not.
No.
So flaccid, please. Thank you. Yeah, and I do Cameo, and then I have my podcast, The Take On. That's pretty much all of it. Yeah.
We love it. Well, thank you guys for coming to our disco party in hell today, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.